305, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It absolutely is Friday Eve. Not bad. We're again in a little bit of a lull as far as rain goes, but it's coming back. It's going to be here again today and tomorrow, and some heavy stuff tomorrow. Obviously, we'll keep you up to speed on all of that. Are we allowed to drink the water today? What about tomorrow? Well, apparently today it's okay. Has the no longer new mayor in the city of Richmond actually hired someone down there to, well, you know, run that operation? Where are we, Mr. Mayor? I don't want you to take it personally. I'm getting a little tired, though, of hearing you tell us when you should do this and you should boil your water and then you should boil the... You know, listen... How about, and I'm just spitballing here, dude. How about you hire some folks who know what the hell they're doing down there, and you fire the folks who are leftovers from the failed administration of LeVar Stoney? You know, yeah, look, I'm not mayor or anything, not like I know anything, but just kind of the thing I would do if I took over an operation and it were... I found it populated top to bottom and side to side with grossly incompetent people who were there as a result of the active DEI efforts of the last boss. I think I would probably make some changes. That's all. Just, you know, a little bit around the edges. You know what I mean? I just don't think you're really cut out for this particular line of work. And so we thank you, of course, for your efforts and your hard work. And just give us the key fob already. All right. Get out. Get out now before you can do any further damage to the citizens. We've got an old buddy of mine, Ryan Hudson, is going to be with us at 4:05. Now, Ryan sits on the Hanover County Board of Supervisors, and his constituents in the Mechanicsville area had to deal with this. They have been affected by the latest Richmond City water disaster. So I'm going to chat with Ryan at 4:05, try and get a little insight from him as to what the folks in Mechanicsville had to go through. And are we or are we not ready here in Hanover to just disconnect from the city and get our own water processing stuff up and running? I'm telling you, that to me is the only answer for this. Chesterfield, you guys, for the most part, don't have to deal with the city of Richmond, right? I mean, that's my understanding. We should probably reach out, just confirm that. But I think that that is the case. Now, there might be, well, now that I think about it, some stuff on the south side, maybe that might impact. But I thought that at the very first of the Richmond City water crisis, it was made clear that Chesterfield had no interaction with them. Anyway, I just think it's time to be on our own and not count on grossly incompetent people in the city to get this stuff done. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't want you to take it personally, but I got to look out for people in my community. I'd like to know that if I turn on the tap, the water's good to go. I don't think I'm alone in that. A lot of other stuff that we are covering today. I did gripe the other day, and I am curious to know if anybody else found themselves in this. This has nothing to do with news of the world, politics, blah, 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 blah. It's far more important. It's a television show, The Handmaid's Tale. Heidi and I devoted 7 years to watching The Handmaid's Tale. It was based on the Margaret Atwood book. Now, the first season or two or three or, I don't know, maybe four, it really was the Margaret Atwood book. And then, I don't know exactly what happened, but I think what happened was the folks that produced it said, wow, this is like a cash cow. And we got all these people watching it, and don't kill the golden goose, right? Or the goose that lays the golden eggs. Or the golden goose that lays the golden eggs. You get my point. Just leave the damn goose alone. Okay, so what are we going to do? Well, we just make stuff up. Yeah, but that's not in the Margaret Atwood book. Well, we'll just say it's based on the Margaret Atwood book. We'll say it's inspired by the Atwood book, and then off to the races. And I'm telling you, by the time the series finale aired the other night, oh, Heidi and I, look, we were invested. We had spent 6 years watching it, and then this was the final season. So he said, well, we have to watch the final season. We can't just turn our backs, right? We got too much invested in these characters and what have you. And every episode this season, I swear to you, was like a homework assignment that you didn't want to do, but you knew you had to do it because it was going to be on the final exam and make a part of your final grade. Well, the actual series finale aired the other night. And I swear, I felt like I should just scratch my eyes out. It was abominably bad. It was such a lame effort. And I just kept thinking, did I really devote? How much time was it? It's an hour an episode times so many episodes times 7 years. God, I could have completed my doctorate in that time, right? I could have done something bad. I could have clipped my toenails. But I'm just curious, did anybody else get stuck? Now, I'm saying I'm stuck. You may have watched and thought, oh, my God, this is the best season finale, series finale I've ever seen. Do me a favor. Again, it's not end of the world stuff, but boy, was that percolating with me. Hit me up on the James River Air text line, would you please? 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Also, another thing that I'm looking at here, Elon Musk saying, okay, my service here is done. Of course, the leftists are saying, see, we chased him away. Well, you didn't, actually. He was serving in a special capacity. It had a beginning date and it had an end date. He reached the end date. And so, therefore, with this special appointment that he had, he was done. Does the work of Doge end? Well, that's the question, isn't it? A lot of people looking at the One Big Beautiful Bill and saying it doesn't do nearly enough. There are people who are legitimately saying, hey, I thought there was going to be more. I really thought that we were going to make these big cuts and we were going to do them now. Where's all the Doge stuff? Well, the Doge stuff is in there. But as per usual, as happens in the morass that is Washington, D.C., and make no mistake, it is a swamp like nothing else you've ever seen. They've got some in there. They've got some in there. But I just don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if the next time around we're going to get more. I'd like to think that all of the great things uncovered by Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency team legitimately opened some eyes. I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that. If you've got a sense on that, again, I'd love to hear what it is. James River Air text line is how you do that. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, democracy to the Democrats are unelected judges constantly overruling an elected Congress and president. Yeah, I certainly agree with you. And you're seeing that, obviously, with the judges getting in on this. It is the last vestige of the left. I don't think that it stands. I mean, you do have to take a look at what the Supremes just did the other day. They made it very clear. It was 8-0 that district court judges cannot do some of the things that they've been doing. Now, it was limited on this case, but it does give a good preview of where it's headed. And you make no mistake, this thing always, everything involving President Trump and what he's trying to do to make America great again, every single part of it was always going to wind up in front of the Supremes. So I don't think anybody should be shocked. 804 Jeff, about that not new mayor anymore. He's too afraid to fire anyone. He's super woke. He doesn't want to be called a racist. Well, you're right. I mean, he is a he's a progressive's progressive. He's he is your typical left-wing wackadoodle. I give you that. But the job of mayor, I mean, he can still go out and advocate for all the bat crap, crazy left wing crap that he loves. I don't care. But he also has a city to run. And the involvement of we in the counties now comes into play. We apparently are the biggest consumers for the city of Richmond. We're the biggest customers for the city of Richmond when it comes to their grossly incompetent water operation. So if they want our money, then they got to deliver the product, don't they? Ann from RBA says, good afternoon, Jeff. Even though I wasn't under the boil water order this time, it's pretty obvious that the employees at the plant are all incompetent and need to be fired en masse. In mass. Big group. But it's all Francais, so it's nice. But she's right. And you're absolutely right. Then we go back to this question. Will the no longer new mayor... in other words, he's been there long enough to have done some stuff, for God's sakes. And it doesn't appear to me that he's doing anything to make anything any better. He's just providing the same level of garbage that we've had for the last 16 years with the grossly incompetent LeVar Stoney and Dwight Jones. Well, we'll see. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, or, I mean, if you have to use the T word, you can. You know where I go on this day of the week. I spend my mornings in jail. I go over, and we're at the end of the class. Inside Out Dad program. So today was the last instructional class. And then next week, I'm not going to be there, and I couldn't get either one of my backups to be there. See, every time that I do this, when I do this, I do a makeup class. Because I say to the guys who are in this class at the very beginning, look, gentlemen, there are 12 weeks, right? You got to give me 12 weeks. And because of weather or other commitments, sometimes those 12 weeks get stretched out where there's not a class. But you need to be here, your rear ends in the seats, for 12 solid classes plus. And so I offer a makeup class or two. If somebody has missed one class, it's easy to do. And that's the situation we're in. I'm very fortunate this time out. There are a couple of guys, each of whom has missed one class. So we're going to be able to make that up. And by this point in the class, I have moved from the teacher role through the trainer role. And now I'm much more of a facilitator. It's the other guys in the class, in many cases, who are taking the lead, which is wonderful. And so when we do our one makeup class, each of the other guys has been through the class that the other guy missed. They're the ones who are going to be able to share some stuff with their fellow students, which is really very cool. It is very, very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that in just 2 weeks. And then a couple of days after that, we'll do our graduation ceremony. One guy who would have been graduating isn't graduating, but that's because he's not there anymore. He got out last week. So that's good, right? Now, if he still wants the diploma and he wants the education that he's missed from two classes, I will make it up for him. We'll do it. But it's a great situation. I love being involved in that. I just love the opportunity to give back. I talk about this all the time, right? You've got to have some way to repay those of us who have gotten a lot, right? You remember that old thing? It was in one of those old books. I forget who wrote it, but it was something like, to whom much is given, much is expected. Yeah, you look it up. Google it. I'm sure you'll find it. It is 3:25. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Yes, yes, yes. We are doing well. We are in the, what are we in? The lull, I guess, between the rainstorms. And they're just going to be with us for the next few days. It's just that simple. Even though it's not raining right now, it will be raining a little bit later on, and we'll deal with it, all right? Because next week is looking nice. Talking about sunny and highs each day, right around 80. I'll take that, but these are good days as well. Ryan Hudson, who's an old friend of mine, we both served on the Hanover County Community Services Board together. Ryan is now an elected member of the Hanover County Board of Supervisors, represents the Mechanicsville area. He's going to be with us at 4:05 because his constituents in Mechanicsville have been impacted by the very latest disaster at the Richmond City Water Facility. And it's leading a lot of us to say maybe it's time for those of us in Hanover County or those of you in Henrico County to just disconnect from the city. Say thanks, we're going elsewhere. I think that's probably the way to go. Elon Musk has disconnected. He said, hey, I was here heading up DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, never actually a federal government agency, but I was here with a special appointment from the president. It always had a start date. It always had an end date. We're at the end date, and I'm leaving. Now, of course, the left has spun that in so many different ways, and thank goodness the White House has been consistent in saying this was always for this period of time. It's just that simple. Now, these judges that are out of control, that's another story. And it does seem to be that that's become the weapon from the left. You know that Brian Maloney is the media equalizer. Brian joins us every week and gives us the insight, analyzes stuff. Brian has been around this game for such a long time and really, I say it each time, I'll say it again, he's just a brilliant guy, and we're fortunate to have him jump in and take some of this apart and explain it to us. Brian, thank you for being here, sir. Now, after I said all that nice stuff about Brian,
Oh, hey there.
There
you know
he
what
is.
I
is.
I had my microphone turned off while I was listening to you say all kinds of things there, and I neglected to. I thought I had it, you know, back on, and you know. So nice. You are not at fault.
Oh, okay. Well, thank goodness, my God, because the fact that I'm not at fault, that doesn't happen all that often. Normally, it is.
It's so. Like you probably get blamed for things all day long. You know, it's like, you know.
Well. I still believe all the things I said about you, and I'm still grateful that you are here. And I want you to give us your sense as Elon Musk says, thanks. I've concluded my work here. Good, bad, or indifferent. Did we get anything from DOGE?
You know, I think I've always had a different view than most people on, you know, my side of the spectrum on the right about all of it. I always thought that Trump should have started with tax cuts and making the tax cuts permanent while he had that 90-day window. So it's a lot harder to get any of that done now, as we are seeing. So I wanted some other things front-loaded. And the reason why I differed from other people on this is that Reagan tried the same thing and got the same result, you know, 40 years earlier. And so I was looking more toward history. And I think people had a lot, much bigger expectations about what DOGE would be doing than what was. You know, people get mad at me when I kind of put this perspective out there, but
right.
You know, the bottom line here is that if we don't make those tax cuts permanent, our economy is in serious trouble. I don't think people realize how much their taxes will go up if we don't make those cuts permanent. I don't think people have done the math. You're not going to want to see what happens. And we've got some really awful rhino senators in there who are sticking it to him any way they can. And we're seeing. So I think, you know, when you first start on January 20th, as we talked about, you know, you have a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
And that leeway dissipates a little every day. Mm-hmm. And we're now at a point where there's a lot less leeway.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great point. We look at the numbers. I mean, I've seen numbers, thousands and thousands of dollars is what most of us are looking at if these tax cuts are not made permanent, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen really anyone emphasize so far and really get the message out how badly it would hurt the average working person if we had to go back to our previous tax system. Working Americans would be very, very unhappy to see their tax bills going up by thousands and thousands because, you know, we've already seen the cost of living has gone beyond what anyone I know can afford anymore.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you name it, we're getting crushed.
That's right.
So we have to have that passed and look at the shenanigans going on in Congress as we try to move it through. I mean, you've seen the sneaky tactics that are being used.
Tell me about what's going on in the Senate, Brian. And before you do that, let me remind everybody, Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, is joining us as he does each and every week. You need to be following him on Facebook. Look for Media Equalizer. This one big, beautiful bill came through the House. It seemed that there were a whole bunch of people that hated it, a whole bunch of people that liked it, a whole bunch of people who said, well, you know, it is what it is. It's the best we're going to get. Now it's over in the Senate. What exactly are they doing? What sort of machinations?
Forgive the interruption there, but that's the problem. You just named it, the machinations of, you know, where you end up with a different bill every hour and nobody knows what's in it right now. Yeah. So, you know, if I were to dig in there and see where it's at now, an hour later, it would be a different story. So you know how sneaky all of it is and the things that get added and removed in the middle of the night, so that's the problem. We don't know where we're at. And, it has to be a very, very frustrating situation to be sitting there trying to figure out what in the world is going to be the end result.
Is it still possible for the White House to get out in front? This is something you have been very concerned with. You just mentioned it again, that they've got to make clear to everybody that if, in fact, these tax cuts aren't made permanent, that's part of this one big, beautiful bill. If they're not made permanent, then you can reach deep into that empty pocket and realize you're going to have even less because your taxes will go up $2,000, $3,000, $4,000.
Well, and that's exactly what you and I have talked about so many times since January, and that there is an issue there with messaging and, what isn't being said and a lack of focus. And this is the one issue I would be zeroing in on right now. I mean, there's one other, and that's the judicial insurrection, and you are hearing about that.
Yeah.
But this one you're not hearing about, and that's a problem. I mean, I would be out there with charts and graphs and be talking to the average American worker about what will happen if this thing doesn't pass the way we need it to. What will happen to your tax bill? You will be crying. And that's a powerful message that isn't being made.
You have said all along, and more and more people, maybe behind the scenes, are agreeing with you, hopefully publicly a little bit more. But you have said from the very beginning, the real strength of Donald Trump is out there at the rallies with people. Yes, he's got the great business mind and he can get stuff done and hammer out deals and all the other good stuff. We're not taking anything away, but you've said it over and over. His strength is out at those rallies. And would I be wrong in saying that's where he should be right now? Rallies with some of those PowerPoints saying,
well,
hey,
that's
gang, you got to take a look at this. Your average bill's going up $3,800. There it is. Those are the numbers. Now what are we going to do?
Well, and that's exactly right. I think that you've absolutely nailed it there. What we've had happen instead is there are some people who have his ear, whose job it is to simply confuse him all day long and with agendas that are nefarious and are designed to keep him insulated or isolated from everyone else, especially the voter. So you know, that kind of situation. There are some bad actors around him right now that have penetrated the inner circle and are doing him wrong. And the answer to it is exactly what you just said. When you pull him out of that and you get him back to where he was last year every single day, I think that it fixes itself. It really does.
Yeah. All right, predictions, and I hate predictions, and that's why I don't do them. However, you don't have the out. Prediction here. When does this bill get out of the Senate and make its way to the president's desk?
That is really hard to say, because I just don't think, and the other thing is, maybe it does make it through, but not in a recognizable form that anyone would want to sign, you know? So that's a problem. I think rather than guess on when, the thought would be on what.
Okay.
What? Signing what?
Yeah. Well,
and that's bad. That's the bad part.
That's a bad part. And as you pointed out so many times, we got a couple of people who are at least wearing that Republican team jersey that will do anything and everything they can to kneecap this president. It's disgusting. But
well, that's exactly right. And as I've said, some of them have worked their way or wormed their way. I think wormed their way is a better way to put it, or slithered their way into very, very close. You know, sometimes people get huffy. I point that out. People, why are you sowing division and, whatever. It's no. Call out the snakes, because they're doing a lot of damage. And just because somebody works their way that high up the ladder does not mean they are our friends. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough thing for some people to swallow. They want to idolize some of these people. And I'm telling them, some of these people are, their agenda is certainly not America first. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Brian, please remind everybody where they can follow Brian Maloney.
Facebook.com/Media Equalizer, Media Equalizer, or Red Wave America.
Love it. Thank you for being here, sir. That is Brian Maloney. You should be following him over on Facebook. Look for Media Equalizer on Facebook. Look for Red Wave America on Facebook. And, of course, each and every Friday Eve, Brian is kind enough to join us on this program. Brian and I go back, it's got to be 30-some-odd years. And Brian, before he was in the political world, was a great talk show host. I mean, one of the best talk show hosts. And he put some of his talk radio stuff on hold so as to help out with areas like this, to absolutely do things that are good for America. He's an America First guy. It is 3:47, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 3:53, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Got to have the rain coming back, about an hour, depending on where you are. And then it'll be here, it'll be gone, then it'll be back. And it's just going to be this way right through the weekend. Weekend looks like a total washout. However, here's the upside of that. Flowers will be happy, the grass is going to be happy, and next week we'll probably be, less damp, if nothing else. It's going to be sunny and right around 80 degrees. So that's some good stuff. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be joining Rich Herrera, my friend Rich, on Richmond's Morning News. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. I sure hope he's got something to talk about. I agreed, not knowing at all what it was that we would be talking about. And you know what? That's just fine. Because in case you haven't figured out, I seemingly have one marketable skill, and that is talking. And even that may not be as marketable as, like a real skill. Jeff, can you build a highway? Yes, good. We need you here. Jeff, can you talk about building a highway? I can. Thanks. There are a million people talking about it. So, Jeff, can you fix the Richmond City water system? No. Can you talk about it? Yes. All right, well, we're still looking for the guy who can actually fix it. But thanks for your interest. I'm looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, Hanover County residents really need to reach out to our Department of Public Utilities to request the powers that be begin to look for viable options to become self-sufficient with our water supply. To continue to rely on the city of Richmond for our water is not being good stewards of the taxes we pay and not looking out for the safety and health of our community. Jeff, if it's not the Department of Public Utilities in Hanover, who is it that we should contact? Thank you. Well, hopefully we'll get the answer to that, because my friend Ryan Hudson, who is a member of the Hanover County Board of Supes and represents Mechanicsville, he's going to be with us at 4:05. He and his constituents were impacted by the latest water situation, and we'll get some answers from him at 4:05. It is 3:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and we got a lot of great stuff we're covering and a lot of stuff that, I don't know, maybe not so enjoyable to cover, but it has to be covered. It's what we do. I'm going to bring you up to date on Chris Saunders in a few moments. Chris is a master patrol officer with the Richmond Police Department. The name probably is familiar. He was actually one of the earliest recipients of the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. He's, at this very moment, got the toughest battle that he's ever been in. I think he'd probably trade this situation for a dozen felony arrests if he could. So I'll bring you up to date on that about 10 minutes from now. If you want to get details ahead of time, you can head over to Facebook. I've got the Jeff Katz page in parentheses. It says Radio Katz. So they've just changed that. It's now a big public page with tens of thousands of people there and what have you. But it's a good place to go. I've got the story up there. I've got the story up on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, as well as the Radio Katz page. So either place will get you the details that you need. Well, the very latest water crisis involving the city of Richmond and the Richmond Water Treatment Facility. The mayor, can't say he's the new mayor anymore. He's been on the job 6 months. I would kind of hope that he would have put some people in place that knew what they were doing, held people accountable who clearly didn't know what they were doing. But it's those of us in the suburbs, those of us in the counties who are saying, hey, why is my water tied to them? Why do I have to be dependent on people in the city of Richmond at Richmond City Hall who just don't seem to be competent? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that friends and neighbors over in Mechanicsville, as an example, and I think some folks in Ashland got whacked with this latest water crisis from the city. Ryan Hudson is somebody I've known for a long time. He and I served together on the Hanover County Community Services Board. Ryan went on to seek the seat, the Board of Supervisors seat for Mechanicsville, and he's a member of the Board of Supes, doing a great job, and happy to say he's joining us to shed a little light on this. Ryan, thank you for being here, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to say I didn't go through any of the water situation that you guys over in Mechanicsville did. What exactly were you dealing with this time?
Well, kind of the impact for our Mechanicsville area residents was by design, and that was what you saw a lot of social media chatter about, was that they were seeing reduced pressure out of their faucets at home. And when I say that was by design, that is a method that utilities can use to reduce consumption and use of water, a method of conservation. And so the impact really was minimal, and I have to assure all of our shared constituency across Hanover that our administration, our engineers, our director of public utilities really have done an outstanding job to avoid and minimize any impact to Hanover citizens, which, as you know, particularly we say east of I-95 were the most impacted areas in January, on January 6th, and then just the other day, what we were seeing was really just some minimal reduced pressure. But the citizens of the Mechanicsville area are the largest consumers of the city-fed water in Hanover County.
All right, now this raises the question, Ryan, and we've been talking about it. Should we in Hanover continue to depend on the city of Richmond and an operation there? And I'm trying to be charitable, but I don't think they're going to win any awards for being one of the best run systems out there. So Are we doing right by our people in Hanover saying, yep, we're still going to be dependent on them? Should we be looking at other options to operate things ourselves?
So first, let me say that we as supervisors and county administration, we feel and see the frustration that is very valid from our constituents. And even before the water crisis on January 6th of this year, county staff was looking into long-term sustainable methods for the county's water system. And so it's kind of multifaceted, and certainly the original crisis on January 6th has accelerated things, right? I had people that had lived in Hanover their whole life and didn't know that we were getting water from the city of Richmond. And I, while their frustration and anger was valid, I would say to them, well, you can certainly be mad at me, but you need to realize that you're going to be mad at 10-year-old me. That's how long we've been getting water from the city. And, of course, they would always chuckle like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we actually had a pre-planned public meeting on coming up on June 11th with the Henrico Board of Supervisors to develop a couple things. There's one is to develop perhaps a kind of long-standing emergency contract so that if there is a water emergency like that we did experience, that we can immediately isolate ourselves, which also happened just the other day. Our folks were at the ready and immediately isolated our system, reduced pressure, started to store up water, and so that we could be prepared for whatever may come our way. And thankfully, it really didn't. But so to begin an agreement with Henrico County and the capacities that their reservoir could handle, so that I'm simplifying things for the listeners, sure, we can shut us off from the city and open up a valve from Henrico County and have an agreement with them to purchase water to either minimize or have a seamless transfer of flow from the city of Richmond to Hanover County. And that is going to be handled, as you can imagine, by some engineers well above our pay grades, right, that will work to find the most not only cost-effective measure as well as the most efficient measure from a transferable standpoint to get it to Hanover County. And then everyone says, we need our own reservoir in Hanover County. That came up in the late 80s, and the not in my backyard folks really stomped that out at that time. And the documents are still around and exist and all that sort of thing. It's not something that is that can't be obtained, and many folks were here then. But even if today we determined where a reservoir could go, we are talking about a 25 to 30 year timeline. The current reservoir that Henrico County has up in Cumberland actually began around 1999, and it is just now getting ready to be online. The first thing is to get a emergency sustainable solution with other partners in Henrico, but also in conjunction with that is to have a very frank discussion about some regional oversight. I heard you earlier on air say that localities, the other municipalities in the region, are the largest customers for the city of Richmond. And currently, with our current agreement, that's exactly what we are. We're just really big customers. And so one of the things that will be discussed is some regional oversight, not to be confused with a regional authority, the way that it has been explained to me that if we had a regional authority, like we have a Central Virginia Transportation Authority, that sort of thing, that would require us to take on their debt service,
right,
and in a shared capacity, and that's something that we're just not really ready to do at this point. But to have some regional oversight is certainly something that seems to be needed. And to the city's credit, I know we don't we we all kind of cringe when we think about that, but it's, they have made improvements. They are communicating better, and that sort of thing. Do we all recognize that they have a long way to go? But look, it's not going to do me any good to sit here and point fingers. I've got to work with these people and that sort of thing for many things regionally. So, you know, we send our own people down. Henrico and Hanover instantly sent people down to make sure that our respective constituencies' best interest was looked after. And they stayed for days. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right. Well, listen, Ryan, number one, I appreciate you being here. And everybody should know that you actually reached out to me and said, I'm here in the chat about this. My constituents are dealing with this. Be happy to jump on. And so great to have you here. I will say, as I've said so many times for years, I love my county. I really do. I love Hanover County, and I love our county manager. I think John Badeski is just one of the best of the best, and I'm thrilled that he is here in Hanover, and I don't want him going anywhere else. So if he's on the case, then I have great confidence that we're going to do the right thing, and I appreciate the insight on some of those possibilities. We'll get you back. We'll talk about it. We'll see where we are. And as always, I appreciate your service. That is my friend Ryan Hudson. Ryan is the Mechanicsville District Supervisor on the Hanover County Board of Supervisors. Good guy. Some insight there on what we in Hanover County are doing, how Hanover County reaching out to have some sort of an emergency plan, if you will, with Henrico. And also have some honest, tough discussions with the city. It's just going to have to happen. 415, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Is just a really, really wonderful guy and a great cop. He is a master patrol officer with the Richmond Police Department. And I'm just going to share what this says on the GoFundMe, all right? On May the 11th, 2025, Master Patrol Officer Chris Saunders suffered a serious injury while working that required an emergency double craniotomy. Thanks to the quick actions of his fellow officers and dedicated medical professionals, Chris survived, and his recovery so far has been nothing short of extraordinary, but the journey ahead is long. Chris faces months of intensive physical and speech therapy and will be unable to work for an extended period of time. And, unfortunately, workers' compensation has denied his claim. I don't understand that, knowing what I know about how he suffered this traumatic brain injury. I can only hope that there is a dedicated workers' comp attorney who's willing to step up to the plate and help him, because this makes no sense to me. During this difficult time, his wife, Laura, who is herself recovering from breast cancer surgery, has remained steadfastly by his side. Together, they are navigating the emotional and financial burdens brought on by this sudden medical crisis. While their strength and resilience are truly admirable, they still face a long road ahead filled with unexpected costs, including travel for medical appointments, specialized rehabilitation, and ongoing care needs. Chris has dedicated his career to protecting and serving his community. Now it's our turn to support him. Any contribution, no matter the size, will help ease the burden and allow Chris to focus on what matters most, healing. Thank you for standing with Chris, Laura, and their family during this critical time. So I believe it's one of his co-workers who organized a GoFundMe. They have a $15,000 goal. So far, they are at the $4,000 mark. And Chris, as you may or may not know, was one of the earliest ever recipients of our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. He is one of the good guys. Now, you and I need to step up to the plate and help. Just check out the Facebook post that I've got there. It has all the links you're going to need to help out, all right? It is 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and a little bit of sprinkling. It's like spitting. I don't know exactly who would God be spitting on us? No, I hate that image. Maybe it could be he simply brushed his teeth. You know, it's like rinse, and that I'm willing to go along with. But it's just a little bit of a very, very light drizzle up here in center of the universe in Ashland. But we're going to get heavy rain, and you're going to get heavy rain, and then it's going to go away for a little bit. Then tomorrow it's coming back, and then Saturday. Now, Saturday is actually going to be, it's not going to be great, but it's not going to be awful. Lots of rain in the morning, but then it's going to clear up, and we kind of sort of start turning the corner. And as we do that, we'll head to next week. And next week, I got to tell you, next week is really looking nice. Next week is looking like one of those days you want to sit on the deck or sit in the yard and really, really enjoy yourself. Yeah, 80 degrees and plenty of sunshine. So hopefully you'll be looking forward to that. We got a lot of stuff that we're dealing with. As I mentioned to you, this situation with Chris Saunders is a difficult one. I would be lying if I said Chris was a friend, but Chris is someone whose work I have admired for a long time. And that was one of the reasons that he was one of our earliest recipients of our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor, because I saw so many photos of Chris on patrol, certainly, but on patrol interacting with community members in the precinct where he works, interacting with little kids to try and get them to understand that the police officers really were your friends. So he's done a lot. He's done a lot. He's a master patrol officer with the Richmond Police Department, and I don't feel comfortable sharing all of the details, but what I've been told about the situation that resulted in this injury, a traumatic brain injury, clearly is a result of working. And the workers' compensation folks have denied his claim. And I'll tell you, I just sent some information. You know, I went through workers' compensation. I can't tell you they're the friendliest people. And it's such a circus. It really is. It's such a circus. And there's so many people who are lined up trying to keep you from getting any sort of help. So I actually did have to get to a point where I hired an attorney. And all that she does is workers' compensation. And I watched her navigate the system and deal with things. And you know what's really weird, just so you know, hopefully you've never had to deal with this. But what's weird is you get this paperwork and it is you versus your employer. And I can remember saying, hey, wait a minute now. I'm not telling you that I want to be versus my employer. I just, you know, I got doctor's bills. This is what the workers' comp insurance is supposed to take care of. So it can be very unsettling. That's all I'm saying. So I did send her information to somebody to get to Chris and Laura. And if anybody's going to be able to shake it loose, I think it's my friend Michelle. So hopefully that will be all taken care of. But in the meantime, here's what I can tell you. They don't have any money. I mean, they now have expenses like you could not possibly imagine. Can't work. And you're saying, well, why isn't his wife Laura doing more? Well, Laura is recovering from breast cancer surgery. This is it's like the perfect storm of bad. And so I would ask you, whatever you can do, reach into your pocket, toss $5 into this. I don't care. Something. Because Chris is one of those good guys. And we need more good guys. We need more good guys standing on the wall, if you will. I heard that phrase the other night at the Virginia State Police Academy. You just have to know this. The oldest guy in the class is, I think he said 42 or 44, something like that. He just retired from the Marines. So he's done 20 years serving, protecting, or as he said, standing on the wall. And after that service, he has decided, to suit up again. And sure enough, he's in the academy as a trooper trainee. And a really cool guy. And I just felt, I was watching some of the other trooper trainees. I don't know if he has an official post in the class. I don't know how that works. I don't know if he's somebody's appointed sort of as, the acting company commander or something. I don't know what the language is over there. But he clearly has got a lot of experience. It's just great to see all of those folks interacting. And again, I mentioned that simply because standing on the wall. Right, we ask good men and good women to stand on that wall and keep us safe. And Chris Saunders is one of those guys. He is a solid, solid cop. He is a good guy. And right about now, he needs our help. So here's what I would ask you to do. Again, I'm not telling anybody to do anything, but I will tell you this. If you would like to help, and I would hope that you would help, all you've got to do, all you've got to do is go over to either one of my Facebook pages. You can look for The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, or you can look at Radio Katz. It says Jeff Katz, and in parentheses it says Radio Katz. That's now a big public page as well. And so you've got both of those options available to you. Please just reach out and do a little something, okay? That's all I'm asking you to do. And you'll see a beautiful photo there. There's Chris and his wife. That's actually him at the Valor Awards. Chris just cleans up, man. I'm just telling you, every time you turn around, he's winning another award. Somebody else is saluting him for the work that he's doing. When you think about who should be a police officer, Chris is the guy you think of. And he just needs some help from the rest of us now. Okay. Lots of stuff to deal with, and as I said, I didn't want to go off on any sort of a tangent, but I just want you to know about it. That's all. Okay, I've got some pretty good audio here. Our good friend Jeremy, as per usual, has done some amazing work, taking some crazy sort of stuff. And turning into absolutely marvelous little snippets. And so we've got one here. This is President Trump. And President Trump is explaining one or two or five things all about Harvard. Let's listen to cut number three, please.
Well, we're going to see. Look, Harvard has been a disaster. They've taken $5 billion plus. $5 billion. Nobody knew that they were making this cut. If we didn't do this, nobody would have. We would have never found this out, Pam. They're taking $5 billion, and I'd rather see that money go to trade schools. And by the way, they're totally anti-Semitic at Harvard, as you know, and some other colleges too. In all fairness to them, and it's been exposed, very exposed. And I think they're dealing very badly. Every time they fight, they lose another $250 million. Yesterday, we found another $100 million. And they have, they have a fund, $52 billion. All right. They get a lot of that from the United States. And I think it's ridiculous. I think this, everyone's coming up to me saying, we love the idea of trade schools with that kind of money and money from others, but money from them. You can have the best trade schools anywhere in the world. You give them to Iowa, Indiana, lots of good states, well-run states, and you give them the money, they can only be used for trade schools, and they'll teach people how to build motors and cars and AI, the AI, we're building plants, we're building hundreds of billions of dollars worth of AI plants, already started many of them. We've never had a boom like we're having now. You're going to see it. There's never been anything like it. So we're up to about $14 trillion in investments. There's never been anything even close. You look at Biden. This guy, they had people leaving as opposed to investing. And they're doing it because of November 5th, and they're doing it because of the tariffs. The tariffs have been tremendous. I can promise you, and I have great respect for the people at the European Union, they wouldn't be over here today negotiating if I didn't put a 50% tariff on. The sad thing is now when I make a deal with them, it's something much more reasonable. They'll say, oh, he was chicken. He was chicken. That's so unbelievable.
It's interesting stuff, isn't it? 445, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Yeah, yeah. And I am sharing the story, obviously, of a Richmond police officer, master police officer, Chris Saunders. Some folks getting in here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Hey, Jeff, where else can we contribute but not online? 804, I don't know the answer to that. It's Walt in Goochland. Walt, I don't know. I would imagine, now I'll double check this, but I would imagine that you could probably, if you feel more comfortable sending a check, probably RCOP is doing some collections, Richmond Coalition of Police. I'll reach out to the guys I know over there, see if they're doing something like that. That would be my thought. I'll also have to reach out to RPD. Maybe you can drop something off at the precinct. I don't know the answer to it as yet. Right. What I do know right now is about the GoFundMe, and that is all I can give you. But I will look into the other stuff, and whatever I find out, I promise, Walt, I will share that with you. Walt also asked, he said, did you feel honored to read the names from the Shrine of Memory on Monday at the Virginia War Memorial? Walt, I don't know that I've ever been more honored in my life. I've had some pretty cool stuff happen. I've done some pretty cool stuff. I'd like to think that one or two of the things that I've done throughout the years have been pretty good. But to be asked to be on the team, if you will, to read some of the names on the Shrine of Memory at the Virginia War Memorial just was like nothing I've ever encountered. And I had been invited, I guess, a couple of months ago when they were first putting together this Say Their Names marathon. And they said, look, we're going to have a few people we're inviting from around the Commonwealth, and we want to give you a slot. Would you be? They didn't even have to finish. So yeah, absolutely. And I was slot number 11. I only mention that because slot number one was Governor Youngkin. So it gives you some idea of the folks that they enlisted in this. It was humbling. It was humbling. Not just the names on those walls, but the people who read a selection of names before me and some of the folks who read the names after me. I was so taken aback, and it went on and on. I think it probably wrapped up around midnight. I had one of the early slots because I was invited so early on in the process. And I think there were some people who they had travel delays and things of that sort. And then, of course, they weren't able to make it there. So I think we got some pinch hitters, which really speaks volumes about the folks who said with very short notice, absolutely, I want to do that. So, yeah, I was honored, and I appreciate that, Walt. All right, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Special Olympics coming up. Yes, we've got the Special Olympics Summer Games coming up. All sorts of opportunities to help. My friend Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard and I still trying to put together some ideas for our next big fundraising effort. I said we should just get tattoos again. Why? Why not? We know we can do that. And we should just walk on fire again. Nope. Carl has us doing all sorts of crazy stuff, but my vote is still for alligator wrestling. We are short one alligator, but once we find an alligator, I'm telling you, that's what we ought to do. 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, which means tomorrow is Friday. And if you've been following along at home on your calendars, you'll notice it is the final Friday of the month. Oh, yes. We will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor tomorrow afternoon. You know the way we do that, do you not? 3:35 and 5:35. Why? Because I want everybody to hear it. I don't want anybody to miss it. Tomorrow we have truly one of Central Virginia's best. I don't ordinarily give the names ahead of time, and I'm not going to make an exception this time. Although he's kind of a buddy, and he's like my whole Birch Beer connection, but that has nothing to do with him winning the award. It really doesn't, although I am addicted to Birch Beer. When I had the opportunity to be addicted to Birch Beer, normally you can't find the stuff. So, but he really is just one of the good guys. And so tomorrow, yeah, just be patient. Oh, come on now. Simmer down there. Be patient. We'll chat and bestow the May Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor. We actually, believe it or not, we are working ahead of time. We have our June Blue Friday honoree lined up. I've got the July Blue Friday honoree lined up. We are in a situation that is so different than, I was in because it was a solo act about 9 years ago when I started this whole thing. I couldn't get anybody to answer. Telling you, chiefs and sheriffs were like, yeah, what's this really all about? Yeah, what's the real angle? What are you going to do? And now, about 9 years in, I'm very, very happy to say, very happy to say, I get so many wonderful emails and so many suggestions and nominations that it's now a process to pare them down. It's great. Oh, it's a great situation to be in. All right, I got a couple of other little sound snippets here that I think you got to listen to because some of the stuff is just crazy. I mean, really, some of it is just nothing but bat crap crazy. Let me start. This will come as no shock. It comes from MSNBC, and MSNBC, oh, it's still around. Most people blissfully unaware of that, but no, it is still around, and I still watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No, really, it's okay. The only thing is, since it is MSNBC, let me suggest take a sip of your beverage now so that you do not spit it all over your desk or your windshield when you hear some of the bat crap craziness. Let us please proceed with bat crap craziness from MSNBC. Cut number one.
So keeping the Trump administration in the spotlight and making sure we keep pressing them to comply with the Supreme Court order and the other judicial orders, not just in Kilmer's case, but in others. That's what we need to focus on.
I'm curious, could you explain or maybe express how is this different? Because I've been thinking about this case in particular, but some of the others that are very similarly situated. How is this different from when Putin grabs a journalist or some, rogue group in the Middle East grabs an American and we're sitting here fighting to try to get them back? Our own government did this.
Mm-hmm.
Our own government snatched him up and put him in harm's way and now refuses to do what it must do and should do to get him back home. Is there any difference in your view as a member of Congress when, you know, you're sitting here and you're getting intel and information on individuals around the globe who've been taken by, taken hostage by groups and organizations and all this energy to try to get them back? I find we're doing the exact same thing here in the U.S. now.
Yeah, we
with our own government. We're petitioning our government to stop seizing people and grabbing them off the streets and putting them in foreign prisons.
Yeah.
This is the part that's killing me.
And don't.
So just so I'm clear. The one guy is a congressman who says he represents the gangbanger who's now back in his native El Salvador. I was like, well, is he one of your voters? Because if he's one of your voters, we got another issue as well. But why are you not concerned with all of the other crime going on in your district? In fact, why are you not concerned with any of the crime going on in your congressional district? Why are you obsessed now with a confirmed gang member who was already ordered deported? Why? This is what I don't understand. This is not a nice guy. This is a criminal. This is someone who has committed multiple crimes and, again, is not only in the country illegally, but was already under a final order of deportation. In other words, he's been through the process. You need to give him it's got to be, a process. He's been through the process. He's been through every part of the process. And at every part of the process, it was clear. He's in the country illegally. He's continuing his criminal activities. He fled El Salvador because of gang violence. Right. Because his gang was at war with another gang. Once again, he wasn't somebody in the suburbs mowing his lawn, tending to his kids, petting the puppy when a gangbanger came by and shot at him. He was himself an active gang member in a gang at war with another gang. Not a good guy. Not a good guy. Human trafficking, spousal abuse, domestic violence, gun running. Drugs. Again, you can be upset with President Trump. We get it. You hate President Trump. Good Lord, we've all noted that. I wrote it down so I didn't forget it. But why on God's green earth are you hanging your hat on this guy? Makes no sense to me. Oh, speaking of no sense, you remember Brian Stelter, Mr. Potato Head from CNN? And then he got too crazy even for CNN. That's saying something. And they just fried him. And he was gone. But now he's back, sort of, kind of. And he's like the chief analyst for Potato Head News or something. But I did want you to hear, you know what, Germ, just in the interest of safety, because CNN has pretty much gone the way of MSNBC, so I would say take a sip of your beverage before you listen to CNN. This is Brian Stelter, cut number two.
Also new this morning, NPR is now suing the Trump administration over the president's executive order to cut its federal funding. Several member stations joined the lawsuit, alleging Trump's actions are a clear violation of the First Amendment. The White House has targeted both NPR and its television counterpart, PBS, claiming they are biased. I want to go to our chief media analyst, Brian Stelter, right now. First of all, Brian, tell us more about this lawsuit.
Yeah, Trump has tried several different maneuvers to take the public out of public broadcasting. Most recently, he signed an executive order demanding that NPR and PBS lose all the federal funding. But here's the thing, that federal funding was included in a law that was passed by Congress and signed into law by Trump earlier this year. And yet Trump on May 1st signed this executive order. There's the title, Ending Taxpayer Subsidization of Biased Media. That is what he is trying to have happen, but NPR is suing to try to stop him. Here's part of the lawsuit's statement from earlier today. NPR says in the suit, quote, the executive order violated the expressed will of Congress and the First Amendment's bedrock guarantees of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of association, and also threatens the existence of a public radio system that millions of Americans across the country rely upon. Now, Trump accused the networks of liberal bias. NPR denies that charge, but that charge is at the heart of this lawsuit. Basically, the White House reiterated that charge again this morning, but that is what Theodore Boutros, one of the lawyers hired by NPR to fight this attack, that's what they say is viewpoint discrimination. Boutros told me just a few minutes ago that viewpoint discrimination is so clear in this case because the White House is accusing NPR of bias, even though NPR denies that charge. So that's at the heart of this case. It's a First Amendment case, and it may not be the only one, Wolf. PBS has also been considering legal action, and it may follow up in the days to come.
Nothing could be further from the truth. It is not a First Amendment case. It is a financing case. The President of the United States says, I don't want this in my budget. I'm going to present a budget to Congress that does not include funding for these folks. Congress then has to say, okay, we agree, we disagree. Remember, ultimately, it is Congress that funds stuff. President sends a budget over, and then Congress does whatever they do. If Congress says, nope, we're going to continue funding NPR or PBS, then that happens. If they say, no, the president's right, we're not going to fund them, then that's what happens. And I got news for you. That's all that this is. Nothing more, nothing less. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We've got some nice developments in the area of the Special Olympics. You know, we're getting ready for the big Special Olympics Summer Games. Always happens over there at the University of Richmond. Did you know Jeremy, who I swear to you is a real boy, not only is he a real boy like Pinocchio, he's a highly educated real boy from the University of Richmond. And Jerm, I know it pains you to say this, but I will never, ever, ever say go spiders. I hate spiders. If you have more than four legs, there's something wrong with you. That's one of those issues, again, when I finally get to sit down and have a conversation with God, that is one of those things I am going to be asking about. Why? Why? Hate all those legs. Anyway, all of that being said, I can tell you this. Jerm is a granulate of the University of Richmond. And the University of Richmond every year steps up to the plate, helps out Special Olympics. Ooh, no, Jeremy, no. Excuse me, I think I got one of those legs stuck in my throat. No. They step up every year. And if you've never been to the Summer Games, you really need to do it. You really need to, because we need volunteer cheerers. Seriously. One of the best things you're ever going to do is to attend the Special Olympic Summer Games over there at, what's the name of the stadium at University of Richmond? What is it, like Tarantula Field or some such nonsense? But it's a good field, and you go over there, and you just sit in the stands, and you cheer. And you cheer for some of the most determined, talented, amazing athletes you're ever going to see. That's who's part of the Special Olympics. You know who's part of the Special Olympics? Now that I think about it, my dear friend Emily Morrissey is a Special Olympian. That's right. Gold medalist. Bocce ball is Emily's specialty. She does a great job. So I love Special Olympics. And, of course, Carl Leonard and I have now teamed up the last few years to come up with some crazy, potentially injurious and painful activity to raise money for Special Olympics. If I can find an alligator, I'm telling you, I'm going to wrestle him right back to the ground. 5:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, which means tomorrow is Friday. And it is also the final Friday of the month. I should point that out. You know what that means? We will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on a very, very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer tomorrow. We got a good one tomorrow. I mean, not that we've ever had someone who wasn't good, but this is really, really a good, good guy. All right, so I've eliminated half the population. You know it's a guy. Not always a guy, but tomorrow's a guy. And I want to make sure you tune in tomorrow to learn who it was that was the recipient of our May Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. It's really amazing guy. I have had the fortune over the years of attending any number of Special Olympics events. Julia, for a period of time, was active in some Special Olympics activity. My dear friend Emily Morrissey from Emily's Bracelets, emilysbracelets.com down there in Midlothian. She's a Special Olympian. Her dad and her brother volunteer to help coach the Special Olympics bocce ball team. And of course, Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard and I collectively have lost our minds over the last couple of years. We've done one or two crazy things to raise money for Special Olympics. You got the Special Olympics of Virginia logo tattooed on ourselves. Last time we walked across 24 feet of flaming, burning hot coals. It was, 1,200 degrees. And I don't know what we're going to do next time. I still think alligator wrestling is the way to go. Carl is, I don't know what his deal is. He's like a crocodile guy or something, but we'll see. In the meantime, we've got the Summer Games coming to Richmond, and we've got David Thomason, who is the president and the CEO of Special Olympics Virginia, who is joining us. David, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, it's always my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. It's always, it's great to welcome you. It's great to think that we are just, a week or so away from the Summer Games here in Richmond.
Yes, as I heard you say, it was Friday Eve. You know, on Friday Eve of June 6th, we will be getting ready for our Summer Games. It starts on June 6th, all-day Friday competition, Friday evening at 7. We'll have this incredible opening ceremony. Everything's open to the public and free. We'll have entertainment. We have eight American Idol contestants who are going to perform at our opening ceremony, eight of them, because
wow.
There's a local, there's a local contestant, Nina Daig, and she wrote a song for her brother who has disabilities, and so somebody on our team reached out, and she said, I'd love to do it, and by the way, some friends will be in town, can they come? And we said, absolutely. So it'll just be exciting. I mean, and of course, you know, you talked about Carl Leonard, and I heard you talking about law enforcement. Such an important partnership for us. Our law enforcement community across the state is just so critical to helping us do what we do. And they will culminate their torch run at these opening ceremonies, bringing the torch after a 1,908-day run. They will bring this torch and light the cauldron as part of the ceremony. So it's not to be missed, and we hope everybody will come and be part of it.
People need to understand that you've got law enforcement officers, police officers, deputy sheriffs, state troopers, state, I mean, it's just every agency you can imagine across the Commonwealth.
Yes.
Everybody wants a piece of that torch run.
Well, 2,000 people are getting a piece of that torch run. 2,000 law enforcement members of the law enforcement community are doing that. And at the ceremony will be 200 of them. But across the state, and we had a kickoff last week down Thursday down in Colonial Heights, and Carl was driving that for us. And to understand and see and be reminded of the commitment of those men and women with law enforcement. They see what they do for us and they say, what else can we do? How else can we help? What can we do to make things better for our 20,000 Special Olympics Virginia athletes across the state of Virginia? And it's just, you know, it's a remarkable partnership and we're so, so, so grateful for it.
Tell us a little bit about some of the Special Olympians, because there are, I would imagine, every single sport that's included in Special Olympics at this point.
Well, we have a large number of sports, just over 20 that we offer around the year.
Mm-hmm.
But these games, the Summer Games, will feature five of those sports. So we'll have 1,200 athletes from across Virginia competing in bowling, swimming, tennis, track and field, and softball. And the bowling will be over at Bolero West End. Swimming
okay.
will be at Swim RVA. Tennis and track will be on the campus of University of Richmond. And then softball is out at Glen Allen Softball Complex. And, you know, it's just really great. These I tell you, these 1,200 athletes have been putting their hours in, they're going to bring their A game to everything they do. And it's not to be missed. And we encourage everybody, you know, people are like, well, you know, I'm not sure I can volunteer. I'm not sure what I can bring. You can bring something. Everybody can be part of this.
Yep.
One of the things, for example, we do something called Volunteer to Cheer.
Yep.
You can go online at SpecialOlympicsVA.org, and you can sign up to cheer athletes on from 10 to 2 or 10 to 12, because nobody wants to compete in an empty stadium, you know, or an empty tennis court. Everybody wants to be cheered on, and it's the best feeling ever for our athletes, but I promise you also for those people who are there to cheer us on. We challenge people. Come to one of our events and leave unchanged. I bet you can't do it because you're gonna learn something about people of all abilities, and then you're going to learn something about yourself in the process as well.
David, that is so spot on. Let me remind everybody, David Thomason is joining us. He's the president, the CEO of Special Olympics Virginia, and you talk about who gets something out of it. The athletes obviously appreciate people cheering, but having been somebody sitting in those stands at Robins Stadium and looking at the crowd and talking with people, you know, I knew why I was there. I knew that my Julia had participated in Special Olympics and I wanted to do something to help Special Olympics. But I chatted with so many people, David, who said, yeah, I don't have any personal connection. You know, I don't have a family member or a friend who's part of this, but I just wanted to be here. Those people are champions themselves.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, they maybe didn't have a personal connection before they got there, but I promise you when they leave, they've met an athlete, they've met a family, they've met other volunteers, they've met you, who say that, you know what, as a community, we can support each other. And when we support those with intellectual disabilities and of all abilities, we're all better for it. Yeah. You know, part of the process, and you know this, part of the process is that once we get to know each other on that level, we're not afraid of the difference that maybe a disability brings. We're not afraid, you know, that fear is gone of difference, and we're able to connect in really meaningful ways. And, I mean, beyond everything else, it's a lot of fun. it's a great event. You know, just seeing our athletes compete, again, opening ceremonies is going to be great fun. We're going to end with fireworks. There's music. There's entertainment. The sports are fantastic. And one piece, and I know, Jeff, we've talked about this before, our athletes, Special Olympics athletes, are compromised in many ways, one of which is their access to health care. Yes. And so at the event on Saturday, we do something called Healthy Athletes. And we will have clinicians there who will check our athletes' hearing, check their vision, check their dental health, check their fitness, check their dermatology. And beyond checking and assessing, they will treat it on site. So our athletes walk in, they get their eyes examined, and they get a free pair of prescription glasses. Mm-hmm. They walk in, they get their teeth checked, and they get a free invasive care. They get, you know, cavities filled or teeth pulled. And nice. Beyond that, it helps us, you know, like, for example, dental health is the window to lots of other kinds of health. So it really has, I promise you, it's changed lives, but I also know that it has saved a few. We've seen that happen. Yeah. And really, one of the really great pieces of the Healthy Athletes is, it, you know, our athletes absolutely benefit from it. But the clinicians who are there, yeah, part of why it's important and part of why our athletes are marginalized, they've not been trained to work with those with intellectual disabilities. Yeah. This gives them that opportunity, and then everybody in the formula comes out of it better. It's kind of how things work at Special Olympics. everybody in the formula comes out better.
Absolutely. Boy, it is just a collection of winners. It's the closest that most of us will ever get to holding a gold medal. I've just been so amazed interacting with some of the athletes, and I become the fan, because it's like, well, yeah, you did a great job. Can I see? Can I hold the medal? Because that's the closest I'm going to get. This is it. And
there's a lot of bling.
And there's ice cream. I mean, I'm hoping that there once again will be ice cream. There's always ice cream. Please tell me you haven't.
Absolutely. You know, okay, we have some great sponsors, and one of our sponsors brings ice cream. And it's part of something called an Olympic Village, yep, that we have on the campus of the University of Richmond. And all kinds of activities. This is an event for all ages, all abilities. Your kids will love it. You know, everybody who's there is going to love it. So, yeah, there's certainly some ice cream, and there'll be a petting zoo, and there'll be, you know, all kinds of activities in the Robins Center and outside of the Robins Center, right there by the stadium. There's just a whole long list of activities. And again, all of this information, including our schedule, what to expect, how to volunteer, what the needs are, how you can get involved in your ways, is at SpecialOlympicsVA.org. SpecialOlympicsVA.org is where you can find everything. It's the main banner you'll see when you log on, Summer Games, and it's just a click on Learn More, and you will learn a lot more. All right. We encourage everybody who's hearing this to come out and be part of it.
That's exactly what I was hoping you would tell everybody, that everybody has an invite, SpecialOlympicsVA.org, SpecialOlympicsVA.org. You can sign up to volunteer if you'd like to do that. You can volunteer, just sit in the stands and root for some great athletes. Five different locations, Robins Center, Bolero, and the West End. Where were the other ones?
Yeah, it'll be five different sports, but it'll be both track and tennis will be at the University of Richmond. Swimming will be at Swim RVA.
Okay.
Bowling will be at Bolero West End, and then softball is at Glen Allen Softball Complex.
Okay.
So, just to remind everybody, it is Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th. The opening ceremony is 7 o'clock on Friday the 6th. So, it's 2 days of all kinds of opportunities for people to have everything. You know, everything is free. Come out and enjoy what's out there. It's a really great community event.
I love it. And you're doing great work. You continue to do great work. Roy Zeidman, is he real? I don't think anybody's really actually going to let him retire, despite what it is that that he thinks he's going to do. But
there are a lot of people who don't want him to, I'll tell you that. But if you talk to him, he's already got travel plans in place. So I don't know. I'm hoping he's going to enjoy them. He's been with our movement for 37 and a half years and has done so much. You know, you mentioned the torch run. He's been such an integral part of that.
Yep.
You know, polar plunge and so many things that we do. He's helped to raise funds and raise awareness and build community. I mean, we are really happy for him. We certainly will miss him, but we're going to try to carry on the legacy that he's established with his work over those 37 and a half years.
He's an amazing man. He really is. Hey, David, I'm going to ask you a favor as I cut you loose, my friend. When you next visit with my friend Carl Leonard, whisper in his ear these two words, alligator wrestling. Alligator wrestling.
I heard you mention that earlier.
All right.
I might get hurt for doing that, but I'll give it a shot. I talked to Carl yesterday. So, hey, thank you so much, Steph, for having us on, for helping us promote this. And again, June 6th and 7th, University of Richmond, SpecialOlympicsVA.org. Come out, everyone. Everybody can be part of what we're doing.
I love it. Thank you, David. That is David Thomason. He is the president, the CEO of Special Olympics Virginia. Yep, the 6th and 7th, your opportunity to just be part of something that is so wonderful and so rewarding. Special Olympics. VA.org. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Tomorrow is Friday, and tomorrow is the final Friday of the month. We will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor tomorrow at 3:35 and 5:35. Oh, tomorrow morning at 7:35. I will be visiting with Rich Herrera in Richmond's Morning News, so I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what it is that we'll be talking about, but it's okay. I mean, any way you slice it, I'm just going to be hanging out with Rich, and Rich will be hanging out. Well, no, he'll be doing more of the hanging. I'm just visiting. Yeah, I mean, he'll be hanging out tomorrow morning, the whole thing, you know, from 6 in the morning till 10 in the morning. I'm just popping by for a couple of minutes. But we'll chat about some stuff. I actually ran into Rich on Monday over at the Virginia War Memorial. You know, Rich is out and about trying to fully experience Central Virginia. And I know, because I see some of the, he's new. Yeah. I would much prefer somebody not lie about that, right? Yeah, I'm new to the area. I'm trying to see stuff. I'm trying to experience things. Good for him. I've given him some suggestions. I know some of you have given him some suggestions. I know some of you have given him some really colorful and I'm pretty sure anatomically impossible suggestions. But nonetheless, tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. Have the chance to listen to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera, and I'll be there at 7:35. But I did run into him on Monday at the Virginia War Memorial, and I think the Virginia War Memorial is such a unique place. In fact, I don't think it. I know it. I know other places that have some sort of a memorial. None of them are really able to compare themselves to the Virginia War Memorial. So if you are new to the area, like Rich, go to the Virginia War Memorial. If you've been around for a while, like me, go to the Virginia War Memorial. It's an experience. I want to close out by reminding you that over on my Facebook pages, Jeff Katz, Radio Katz, The Jeff Katz Show, it's on all of them. On Facebook, I have a link to the story and the GoFundMe for Chris Saunders. Chris Saunders is a master police officer with the Richmond Police Department who suffered a traumatic brain injury the beginning of this month. May the 11th. And he's got a long, tough road to go. His wife is just coming through breast cancer surgery. This is a bad situation. It is a tough situation. And his workers' comp claim thus far has been denied. Now, I actually reached out to some folks. Hopefully that'll be rectified. But we're asking, I'm asking, if you can, step up and help him. Because Chris Saunders has been helping the people in the city of Richmond for years. He is a cop's cop. He is a good guy, and he deserves our support in any way that we can show it. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.